KGUM AM in Agatanya, Guam. You got it locked on to the Data Hub with Tyrone Titano, only on Guam's hottest talk, News Talk, K57.
And good evening. Welcome to the Data Hub with Tyrone Titano. I'm Tyrone Titano. And tonight we have a great show ahead of us. We're having two people calling in from off island, from Jacobs Engineering, which is contracted on the Zero Waste program, to help fuel the green economy and the circular economy that we're trying to build. This is all, again, part of the Zero Waste program that is supervised by the Zero Waste Working Group, chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook. And we're going to examine one component of the Zero Waste program. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring a couple of online. Corey Hines, are you on the line, Corey?
I'm on the line. Hi, Ty.
Thank you very much. And Corey, you're calling in from Alaska, right?
That's right.
At what time is it now in Alaska?
It is 12:30 a.m.
Well, thank you so much for calling. And folks, if that sounds bad enough, also on the line is Julie Carver calling in from Colorado. Evening, Julie.
Hello, Tyrone. Hi, Corey.
Hi. And Julie, I believe it's 2:30 in the morning in Colorado right now, isn't it?
It is quite dark here, Tyrone, but anything for you, man.
Thank you very much. Actually, when I heard you were going to call in at 2:30 in the morning, I was going to admonish you about, you know, if you're calling Guam at 2:30 in the morning, you need to get a life. But then it occurred to me that maybe you just got home from when the bars closed. So I just decided to drop the whole line of questioning here. And just, again, thank you so much for both of you for staying up so late to be a part of this program here. Tonight we're going to focus on one aspect of the Zero Waste program, which basically is called Green Roadways. And this is part of an effort to save money for the taxpayers by diverting waste from the landfill and converting that waste into resources to fuel a green economy. And this has been done on a number of levels. There's a demonstration project being done right now near the commercial port by Jacobs Engineering to convert waste biosolids into a sort of potting soil for gardens and also for landscaping and forestry efforts here. And it comes at an interesting time because reports are that the local Home Depot has run out of potting soil. But before we get into tonight, there are focuses on green roadways. And as in any conversation we have with Jacobs Engineering, which is a Fortune 500 company and one of the world's leading engineering firms, is that we start with the data. And the data in this case here is the waste characterization study conducted by Jacobs some time ago in partnership with a number of government agencies, including the Bureau of Statistics and Plans. And suppose, just to start off, Julie, maybe briefly describe the waste characterization study and how that impacts the Green Roadways project.
Well, the purpose of the Green Roadway Project, Ty, as you said, was to research and develop the policies and procedures to advance Guam's zero waste initiative by encouraging the use of recycled materials to replace conventional non-renewable resources in the construction of roadway and other utility infrastructure. We need to conserve landfill and hard fill space on Guam by reducing waste disposal, reduce potential additional air and water pollution sources, and develop on-island markets for recycled materials, which in turn creates green jobs and conserves non-renewable natural resources. I'm actually going to, Corey led the effort on the waste characterization report.
Okay.
And he is super, super familiar with that. I'm looking at the report right now, Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes are not focusing very well.
Well then, since it's only 12:30 at night in Alaska, we'll swing over to Corey just briefly, because that's the basis for a number of the initiatives under the Zero Waste program to convert waste into resources to fuel a green economy. It's been figuring out what exactly we need to divert from the landfill. So perhaps briefly, Corey, you could outline what the waste characterization study and a very broad brush its findings.
Yeah. So what that was all about was we sorted through the trash that was coming through the Harmon transfer station for various sectors of Guam's economy. There was the residential, the commercial, the military, and we sorted out the different components of the waste stream, and we weighed them. So this was done on a weight basis, and the results showed that over all of the different sectors, that organics was the largest portion. It was approximately 20% of the total waste was what we called food and compostable organics. So these are either direct food waste or things like compostable napkins, that kind of thing. So food and compostable organics were 27%. Plastics were 25%. Paper, that's cardboard and mixed paper, was about 15%. Glass and metals were about 5% each. And inorganics was about 22%. And inorganics would be sort of in, I guess, what I call the other categories. For example, diapers, mm-hmm. things like that.
But glass represents a significant portion of what goes into the landfill, and that has led, as all those items, there lead to initiatives in order to divert from the landfill those the waste that goes in and try and convert it into valuable resources. And so, which brings us, I guess, to the Green Rural Waste Project, right, Julie?
Yes.
Okay, and then so maybe take it from there as to how that led into this concept of Green Roadways.
Well, you know, our purpose is to beneficially reuse recycled materials, you know, rather than disposing that waste in the landfill. And about 5% of the waste going into the landfill that we sorted through was glass. And that equated to, if I remember correctly, around 4,800 tons of glass per year. Mm-hmm. Corey, does that sound about right?
I think it was about 4,100 tons per year, Julie.
Oh, okay. I'm a little high there, Tyrone. But anyway,
but it's 2:30 in the morning, so you're forgiven.
Yeah, thank you. So that's, you know, if you look at that and say 4,100 tons times what, $180 a ton going into the landfill, that's a significant amount of cost savings and jobs that we could create in Guam by taking that material and diverting it from the waste stream and instead utilizing it in Guam's economic
right.
engine.
Listen, hang on, Julia. So, I think Conchita's called in, like they're adding to the conversation. So, Conchita, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Now, Conchita, you'll be very pleased to know that, you know, as I look at my screen and everybody's name comes up here, I have Corey there, I have Julie there, and then next on the list was Kim Chi Titano. So, which I figured is probably you. So, you know, come on board, Conchita, Kim Chi. And we're listening to Julie as she describes the Green Railways Project, but I wanted you part of the conversation, but also I wanted to tease you that you're listed here as Kim Chi Titano. So anyway, Julie, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Why don't you continue?
So anyway, you know, glass is used in across the world in road base and utility infrastructure. And so when we saw that finding in the waste characterization study, we knew we had something that would work as a recovered material in Guam's roadway and utility infrastructure. So we started doing our research, and we found a number of countries across the world had been using glass for quite some time, and a lot of states in the United States were using and promoting glass in their Greening Roadway, they're similar Greening Roadway infrastructure, including Washington, Oregon, Hawaii, California, Texas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Florida, New York, New Jersey. And this just made a lot of sense for Guam. But in order to do that, we need a specific type of equipment to crush the waste.
A glass pulverizer, in other words.
To divert the waste. Because right now, that glass is not in the recycling waste stream. It's going straight into the landfill. So first, it would have to be collected and then specific equipment used. So we got a hold of a number of different manufacturers of different types of equipment, some in Japan, some down in Australia, here in the United States, China, and talked to them about their different types of equipment that they had. And turns out that there was one particular manufacturer that was, their name is Andela. They are located in the United States. That predominantly seemed to really have the market cornered when it came to the type of equipment that we were looking at mm-hmm. and needed, and the cost of it, the amount of material it would manufacture, and it has done really, really well in other island nations, territories, countries.
The product they produce, Julie, you're talking about the equipment, or you're talking about the product that's been imported in?
No, it's the actual equipment. It can produce either, once crushed, it can produce a very fine, extremely fine sand, like a filter sand.
And isn't it referred to as glass sand?
Like
almost like
a pea gravel.
Yeah, isn't the actual product from vendors who produce this product, they refer to as glass sand?
Yes, it is.
So the idea down the line is to get a glass pulverizer. And since you've touched on that one, I think it's at this point I mentioned that the Bureau of Statistics and Plans has submitted an application to the Department of Interior on their technical assistance program to acquire a glass pulverizer under the specifications needed for this. Don't know whether we'll get the grant or not. We probably won't find this out for another couple months. But it's certainly in line with the Leandro Terminal's administration grant strategy to utilize federal funds to get this these needed specialized equipment so we can take the glass waste from the landfill and divert it from the landfill and use it to more productive use. I'm sorry for interrupting, Julie, but I just thought I'd clarify for the sake of the public to know that this is something substantial going on to actually acquire that specialized equipment.
Absolutely. And you know what, Tyrone? No problem. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with you when I'm 100% awake as fast as your mind goes.
that's very kind of you, but I'll keep that in mind that it is 2:30 in the morning. And we'll try to keep you on point but I'm trying to get this through this so you can go back to sleep. I've been so given generously of your time in the middle of the night in Colorado. So perhaps you can explain then, given identified the need for specialized equipment to produce crushed glass, and that's not just crushed but crushed to a level of detail that the product is actually known as glass sand. What is the envision on the Green Roses project is how this waste converted to a resource will be utilized?
Yeah, so on roadways, we can, if I were to ask you to draw me a picture of what a road looked like, I'm guessing that you would draw me a picture of asphalt or tarmac.
Mm-hmm.
But a road has multiple layers. Pavement, or the asphalt, is the most obvious component of roadway infrastructure. But there are several other components to a roadway infrastructure system in which glass and other recycled materials can be used. There's embankment fill. Which is the deepest part of the roadway. Then mm-hmm. there's a layer of subgrade, which is a soil and other material mixture on which the road is constructed. There's subbase and base. which are layers of material often stabilized with cement or concrete mm-hmm. to provide additional load-bearing strength to keep the pavement from settling. And then there is the asphalt tarmac concrete pavement surface course. Mm-hmm. And glass can be used in many, actually in all of those, and other recycled materials can be used in all of those courses. On Guam, we are suggesting that the glass be used in the subbase and the base layers at a mixed ratio, which we'll be refining when we go into our demonstration project. But we've got specifications that we are suggesting the mixed ratio be optimized at. And Corey might be able to jump in. I don't remember. I think it might have been 20%. That may be too much detail, Ty. Sorry. 20% glass to 80% aggregate. But that's what we're talking about doing with the glass.
So the listeners can visualize this more. Where in this wedding cake that you described, starting with the asphalt on the top, would the glass actually be used?
It would be used approximately in the middle layer.
Okay.
So if you had a 5-layer wedding cake, it would be, and I love that analogy, it would be used in layers 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if not for that, then generally Public Works, whoever does the roads, is doing road work here, would have to acquire that foundation and material from some other source at actual cost. To DPW,
yeah,
doing the world
most of that is coming from your quarries, you know, the natural coral aggregate on islands. So mm-hmm. some of your precious natural resources are being, being depleted for roadways, which are essential for the economic engine of Guam to, you know, keep turning. You have to have a transportation network. This just works out to be a really good fit for a lot of different purposes.
Okay, not to digress too far from the subject, we'll go back to the roadways, but you've also been exploring, I believe, with Guam Water Works Authority to use this recycled glass or glass sand for bedding for water lines, and that possibility, have you not?
We have had one or two initial conversations with Guam Water Works Authority about that, yes.
And which is all on a preliminary basis, of course.
Those conversations haven't gone as far as the level of detail that we've gotten into with Guam DPW, where we've already developed the specifications for their roadways, mm-hmm. and they've reviewed them and accepted them and everything else. We're still in much earlier stages on the utility infrastructure, mm-hmm. but it's another absolutely viable option, and it's used in the United States as well for utility infrastructure.
Right. Conchita, if we can get Conchita back on the line. Conchita, this approach that, although we're concentrating DPW here, and then there has been approach to Waterworks, but the idea of bringing in a number of government agencies that to deal with recycled waste into resources, the fuel economy, that is actually a broad-based approach on the Zero Waste Program, is it not, to try and hook into it, not just and this thing one alone, but also on biosolids from Waterworks and converting to materials used by the Department of Agriculture, and a whole range of other things that we're examining not only in detail now but in the future. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. And I'd like to add, Tyrone, that during this unprecedented time, one of the thoughts that we had as a working group was, look, this is an opportunity for Guam and the nation, really, to reset that button, rethink things through, and create green jobs towards a green economy. And so it just so happens that we've been working on these things, those projects that you mentioned, for the past couple of years. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity to further promote this. You're right. You know, we've got the biosolids project that we're working on. The glass is certainly another one, and yet there's even more. And I, and dealing, you know, working with plastics and road paving. But you know, we'll hold off for another time on that.
Yes,
we
have to get through the green roadways in the next 10 minutes, so poor Julie can go back to sleep, having woken up in the middle of the night. Julie, I just wanted to just by the way, Conchita Titano is administrator for the Zero Waste Working Group. Chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook, and has the big overview on all this. But Julie, perhaps describe then what is planned to, in order to utilize this this crushed glass for as part of the foundation for roadways. What's the plan of I guess we need to construct a demonstration project?
Yeah, so we have several demonstration projects that are in the planning stages, and one that has moved beyond the planning stage. And it is they're working out the final details, but that is to use the crushed glass that we now have on island in the road base for a secondary or tertiary road in Dedado. And I think you're going to be talking to DPW's Director Vince Ariola.
Yes,
next?
We're hoping
that
Director Vince Ariola and Mayor Savaris will call in after the 7 o'clock hour, and as we continue the discussion.
Mayor Savaris. She very kindly has offered to host the demonstration project location in Dedado, very enthusiastically, I should say.
Oh well,
so, that's
paving roads is big for mayors, so yeah. So how exactly would this as currently envisioned? What kind of road are you? Is it tertiary road, I guess?
Secondary or tertiary.
Okay.
I think Mayor Savaris has given us probably 10 different locations that she's proposed, and we're going to be working through the final logistics of which of those make the most sense, mm-hmm. And picking one of them here in the coming days. And it, like I said, the glass sand will be mixed in with base material that is coming from one of Hawaiian Rock's quarries, mm-hmm. and it'll be mixed at some optimum ratio to achieve the correct compaction and settlement rates for that type of roadway. Everything we're doing is in compliance with the Guam DPW standards. So when we take a new material like this and we mix it into the road base, we have to, run some additional quality control tests to make sure that everything is working the way we expect it to.
So you're going to pave one of these secondary tertiary roads or more than one, I guess a segment of it here. And then after you do, you lay out the foundation, use the glass with other material, and then you pave the asphalt all after it. What happens after that?
Well, they'll be placing the material in the base subbase mm-hmm. with typical construction equipment, just like they would place their quarried aggregate, and then they'll be running compactors over it mm-hmm. and compacting it to suitable compaction levels. And as they run their compactors over it, it will settle. And they'll run it over it a certain number of times, and then they'll place their regular asphalt surface course over it. And of course everything has to cure and dry just like a regular roadway. It'll be just like a typical roadway. It's just the really cool thing about this is that we will be that roadway will have recycled materials in the base and subbase, which is a fantastic beneficial reuse of glass. And
And after
then the next demonstration project would be potentially a parking lot mm-hmm. at the Guam
Trades Academy. Yeah, but what I'm getting at is after you pave the road, since this is a demonstration project, I assume there's some monitoring of the afterwards, or is that the complete demonstration project?
Yes, there will be monitoring, and I'm sorry, I don't have the monitoring requirements in front of me at the moment.
That's okay. That's okay. But maybe in broad brush terms, what would we be looking for? Is to the degree it settles, and it doesn't, and then actually the foundational material actually holds up under wear and tear, something along those lines?
Absolutely. So there will be visual inspections that are occurring over time, and those are exactly the types of things we'll be looking at. We'll be looking to see if there's differential settlement in the section that was part of the demonstration project. You know, if the pavement drops for some reason, if there's, you know, all roadways crack mm-hmm. over time, but we'll be looking to see if it cracks differentially, if there are more cracks, if there are less cracks than mm-hmm. there is in the adjacent pavement, and if those cracks have different fracture patterns, all of those types of things.
And who will be conducting the monitoring? I assume some of our partners in Department of Public Works, or who would be doing the monitoring?
I think I'm going to ask Corey to jump in on that one.
Okay, I'll get to him later, perhaps after the top of the hour. But we're in our last 4 minutes of keeping you up in the middle of the night. So if there's anything we haven't covered about the green roadways, I want to give you this time to provide some exposition as we head up to the top of the news in the next 4 minutes.
Well, you know, when it comes to greening roadway infrastructure, we are talking about using glass in these demonstration projects, which is one of the beneficial materials that we would like to see reused. But we're also looking at reusing recycled concrete aggregates, recycled asphalt pavement, glass. We've talked about using crumb rubber from tires, and that's still on the table as a possibility. It's just the return on investment for that type of equipment that's necessary for rubber and tearing the tires up and crumbing them is a much longer time frame than there is for glass.
I'm glad you mentioned about the tires here, because there's one aspect of this approach that in the midst of the concern of the environment and dirt from the landfill is that we're trying to create a green industry here. And so in picking the waste that would be put to a recycled use here, the economics of it matter almost as much as the viability as the waste conversion. Is that not the case, Julie?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And because we have to be able to have, it doesn't make sense to buy really, really expensive equipment if we don't have enough tires or other waste to feed it, and it just sits there.
And the idea is that the stuff would go in and would become hopefully cheaper than other materials that would be used by people who pave roads or in the case of the upcoming demonstration project plan with the Guam Trades Academy, the GCA Guam Trades Academy. They're building a new building here, and we're trying to develop a demonstration project there, which is not necessarily paving a road, but paving a parking lot, which is functionally the same sort of approach here. And so we'll probably be talking in the future with Dr. Bert Johnston and his people at the Guam Trades Academy, who would not only benefit from the demonstration project, but also as a training opportunity for some of the attendees at the Trades Academy. Is there anything else you wish to add on, Julie, to the discussion here about green roadways? I have about another minute and a half.
You know, I'm good. It's good to hear your voice, Ty. I'm glad that you're doing well, and I want everybody on Guam to know that I want you all to be well and be safe out there.
Well, same to you in Colorado. Where in Colorado are you in exactly? I forgot exactly.
I am in Denver.
You're in Denver. Okay. Yeah, I've been to Denver many years ago, and it always was a charming experience, and in part due to the charming residents such as yourself. So again, again, Julie, thank you for staying up at this god-awful hour. We certainly appreciate it. I'm going to say goodbye to you for now so you can get some sleep, and I'll keep your colleague, Corey Hines, who's just approaching 1 a.m. in the morning in Alaska. I'm going to keep him on because, we really are intent to exploiting you people as much as possible. So, but given that, I don't want my lovers to understand that how we've kept you up this late. Julie Carver, professional engineer, part of the Jacobs Engineering Group, working on the Zero Waste Program. Thank you so much, Julie, for all you've done for Zero Waste in our community and for staying up this late at night in Denver here. We're heading to the top of the news. Thank you, Julie. And well, when we come back, we'll still have Conchita Titano and Corey Hines from Jacobs Engineering after the top of the hour. So see you all right after the news. Thank you.
AM Hagatnya, Guam. News Talk K57.
We're back. Hello, I'm Tyrone Titano. This is the Data Hub with Tyrone Titano. And joining us online, or joining back online, is Conchita Titano, Administrator for the Zero Waste Working Group. Welcome back, Conchita.
Thank you.
And also Corey Hines from Jacobs Engineering. Corey, are you there?
Still here, Tyrone.
Still there.
Half a day.
And past 1 o'clock in the morning from Alaska. Where in Alaska are you calling from, Corey, by the way?
I'm in Anchorage.
You're in Anchorage. Okay. Yeah. So, welcome back. We're continuing our discussion about the Zero Waste Program and specifically green roadways. But just to recap for people who may not have caught the first half hour, Conchita, perhaps, as administrator of the Zero Waste Working Group, which is chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook, given broad brush a recap as to what the Zero Waste Program is and its goals.
Conchita? Well, in general.
Yeah.
In general, it's a program that seeks opportunities to save resources and create green opportunities for Guam's residents.
And in that regard, in order to help develop these opportunities on a sound database scientific basis.
Absolutely.
The Jacobs Engineering, which is, as I said, is a Fortune 500 company and the leading engineering firms in the country, has been engaged on contract to help develop these proposals, has it not?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I've worked before it was CH2M Hill, but mm-hmm. I've worked with Jake with these individuals before, and what I appreciate is the fact that they have a global family that I could talk to someone from Scotland to Australia, to other resources throughout the world, not just in the United States. So that, I believe, is very, very beneficial for the island, because we can gather as much information on not just what's in the United States, but what's going on in the world, and pick those examples that suit our needs.
And so perhaps on that note, Corey, Corey Hines from Jacobs Engineering, calling us from after 1 o'clock in the morning in Anchorage, Alaska. Perhaps you could, just for the benefit of our listener or our listenership, to maybe give some exposition as to how Jacobs Engineering approaches this challenge, developing the zero waste opportunities for our island.
Sure, Ty. So we talked in the first part of your show about the waste composition study, where we're actually finding out what the opportunities are to divert some of the waste on Guam away from the landfill. And we have duly mentioned the five target categories materials that we have, which is recycled concrete, aggregate, reclaimed asphalt pavement, tires, compost, and glass.
Compost is meant to deal with biosolids and other things, right?
Yeah, we're focusing on those materials.
Mm. And so based on the waste characterization study, that's what you know what kind of materials to target. And so how do you go about developing these opportunities? I assume it's based on best practices that have done elsewhere. I mean, some of this stuff may be pioneering for Guam, but there's certainly you guys are not really reinventing the wheel on a lot of this, I would think.
No, absolutely. Yeah, the process we went through was first look at the sort of a universe of what kind of materials are being recycled, in the States and across the world, and then we took that and we kind of cross referenced it with what are the materials that are readily available and in sufficient quantities to really be able to do something with them on Guam, and that's. And so we did the research on what other states and countries are doing. We dove into the technical specs and the machinery that is needed and what's available on Guam and what would be economically feasible to do. Julie mentioned that the chrome rubber machine may be at this point on the other side of what is economically feasible, but on the other side, this glass crusher is something that we do think is very feasible for Guam.
And so based on that research, and that would lead for you to develop demonstration projects, like, for example, the one that's being done at Commercial Port for developing a composting model, which would be the basis for a much larger facility to handle the tons of biosolids produced by the waste treatment plants of Guam Waterworks. And instead of sending them to the landfill to not only take up space, but also that would cause the taxpayer, but also it costs the Waterworks Authority to pay for them to the tipping fees to take that waste, then in terms divided into what's hopefully is a cheaper alternative and better for the environment. Just to digress a bit, one demonstration project that's already in effect. But with the Green Roadways project, you'd be creating other demonstration projects, not only in roads, but also in the possibly the parking lot of the new Guam Trades Academy. Is that not the case?
That is the case, exactly.
And so
the idea with this crushed glass demonstration project is that, you know, we want to, you know, the end game here is to have this glass pulverizer here set up and operating on Guam, taking that 4,100 tons of glass per year that's going into the landfill, send that through the pulverizer, generate a spec glass that can be either used in roadway construction or in utility bedding. And this would meet exactly the spec of the materials that are currently being used with the Guam's virgin aggregate. So it would displace a percentage of that with no change in material properties and be used in these important projects and stay out of the landfill.
And as I mentioned earlier, the Bureau of Statistics and Plans has submitted a grant application to the Department of Interior on their technical assistance program to acquire glass pulverizer that would meet these sort of specifications. But in the meantime, for the planned demonstration projects on Guam, Conchita, we've had to import some of the crushed glass of the finite of nature for these demonstration projects, have we not?
That is correct.
And how much of it is on island, the stuff we've had to import?
I'm sorry, could you repeat
How much of this type of glass sand have we brought on island for the demonstration projects?
Corey, what is the quantity that came in from Mandela?
We've got 20 cubic yards in super stacks that came in that 40-foot shipping container.
Okay. And so that's at the Commercial Port right now, of which, and I've seen a bag sample of it around, as had the Director of Public Works. I'll tell you offline what some of the people at the Director of Public Works first thought it was. But anyway, so that project is moving along. We have also online Mayor Melissa Tavares. I have to apologize, Mayor Tavares here, but the engineer has just stepped out of the studio, so I haven't quite mastered the technology to get you in the conversation, but we'll get you in real quick here. Julie, before we got offline with her, sort of talked to the process about how the demonstration project for Green Roadways would be done, and what the what they'll look for in terms of monitoring the performance there. So let's say, and this is basically a proof of concept idea, or to prove out the concept on a local level based on local conditions and based on the data and the science collected regarding this demonstration project. But in it's meant to eventually pave the way, to par that metaphor, for a much larger green industry that would accept the glass that otherwise would have been dumped in the landfill and put it through a glass pulverizer and then have it used as material for not only roads, but perhaps some other purposes as well. One of the working concepts we have in terms of acquiring the glass pulverizer uses the basis for a privatized operation. But for that to work here, essentially what we have to do is create a market for this material. Do we not, Corey?
Yeah, that's right. But I would say that we don't have to create the market. because there's already a market there for the material that's used for utility bedding and for road base. I mean, the materials need to be purchased at the right spec for use in these projects. So there's already a market there, but we believe, based on successful models in other states, that the right approach is to require the use of recycled materials as they're available. Mm-hmm. So if there is recycled glass aggregate available, then that should be a first choice for construction material to be used in Guam's projects. That way, the material gets preferential use, and then, you know, if the need exceeds what is available on island, then of course the contractor could use the virgin aggregate material.
And I'd like to have joined in the conversation Mayor Melissa Savarez. The engineer just left the booth again, so she's. Sorry, Mayor, you have to keep on hold for just a minute more. I was about to signal him to put you online, but he left the booth again. So for those of you who want to join the conversation, the phone lines are open for any questions you may have for Gary Heinzen from Jacobs Engineering and from Conchita Titano, who's administrator for the Zero Waste Working Group, chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook. And the lines are open at 477-5757. You're here now with the Data Hub with Tyrone Titano, which is being broadcast on News Talk K57 and simulcast on Docomo Channel 2 and GTA Channel 3. So, Conchita, regarding the approach we've being taken here with green roadways, what exactly are we looking as an intermediate stage to go from the demonstration project to actually making this an industry?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay. With broad strokes,
Yeah.
I'm trying to go a little easy on course, and we're keeping up at 1:30 in the morning.
I know.
Yeah, if you could get Mayor Savarez on the line to join the conversation.
Hi, good evening. This is Mayor Savarez.
Sorry to keep you on offline or join in, but anyway, as we discussed earlier with Julie Carver in the first block, You've given your leadership in this issue has made a valuable contribution in terms of identifying up to 10 possible sites for this demonstration project for the green roadways. Do I have that correct?
Yes, I did, Ty. And you know, about a year ago, Angel and I actually went to
Angel Sablon from executive director of the Mayor's Council.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we saw the aggregates that were, you know, proposed to be used for these, and I said, you know, so many of our roadways, heavy traveled roadways, could be used rather than these things going into the landfill and staying there and taking up space. We could sure use them in the communities. And so I offered to have Dedito be a test site for these things.
We're
excited.
Oh, yes. What was the basis of which you identified them? I guess based on advice as to what they were looking for is a good demonstration project, or?
Yes, a good demonstration project. And then, of course, you know, there's mixed. Some roads that just needed, their base course roads are needed to be resurfaced, widened in certain areas, because now that there's more people living in these areas, you have a higher volume of traffic. And then other roadways, it could just be an entrance to a subdivision where the wear and tear of the road over the years has just, you know, fallen apart. And then, so, you know, it's a combination of all that, heavy traveled areas, more residents occupying, you know, housing areas coming up there. And they're not on main highways, so they're like off the streets. A swamp road is one particular road that I kind of want tested, you know. And Ty, you and I know how the government is strapped with funding, and so, you know, to fill the landfill with things that could be recycled, you know, let's keep that out and use the landfill for what, you know, really needs to be used for, and take those things out and use them in recycle them, make use for them in other areas.
Yeah, and part of the governor's strategy for recovering from the dislocation of COVID-19 is not just rebuilding the tourist industry, but also pushing to other diversified elements of the economy, such as agriculture and aquaculture, and also the green economy. So aside from doing something that will save the taxpayers money and also good for the environment here, part of the approach is to also help rebuild the economy and providing by more private sector green jobs for this. And since this is a process that is new to the community, one of the a great advantage of some of the roadways you've identified, Mayor Savarez, is that although they're not the main highway stuff, a lot of them are accessible. And I am part of this process, isn't a record sheet, is to not only prove it up scientifically here, but give a public example for people to come by and check out how this demonstration project is doing, and help build awareness as to what could be done on a much, much larger scale. Is that not the case, Conchita?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of the roads that the mayor has chosen, you know, it leads to communities, disadvantaged communities. So many people get to benefit, and especially those who really need the help.
Yes, and again, the whole idea here is that and instead of like importing some of the stuff from off island or redoing limited resources here, you create a private sector, basically a green economy recycling operation using pulverized glass that in turn creates a tax revenues that can go back to the government. They can help finance even build further roads. That's the whole idea. One of the great... potentialities of this approach here is it stems from the fact that we import like 95% of everything we consume on expensive Jones Act shipping. Well, if we use the resources we already have here, we don't have to import it in. Right. Mayor Savarez, how do you think your residents will react when first of all they'll like the roads, but to some of this environmental and green approaches to solving community problems?
Oh, you know what, Ty, in this case, I mean, you know, now we have a place that it'll entice them more now to bring all their glass waste mm-hmm. into a facility where it can be used. And so it will really reduce the waste coming out of their homes. That's mm-hmm. one, which is great. The more we reduce coming out of the homes, the better it is for the landfill and the community, right?
Right. And I'm folks, I'm here tonight with Mayor Melissa Savarez Mdededo, who's identified the sites for the first of the Green Roadways demonstration projects. Well, I'm here with Conchita Titano, Administrator of the Zero Waste Working Group, chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook, and Corey Hines from Jacobs Engineering. And joining us is Jason, who I believe has a comment. Jason, are you there? Are you there?
Hi.
Okay. And you have a comment.
I was just catching the back end of this on the way here. And to me, it's kind of, I don't want to say deja vu, but this was brought up almost verbatim back in the late 90s, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Governor Guam had purchased a glass crusher, paid $1 million for it. It sat and rusted away at the ODOT dump, never used. And they used the same excuse that they're going to use it for road paving. They had all these ideas about what they're going to use glass for, and they never used it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tires, tie shredder. I don't know if you were old enough to remember that one.
Oh, I'm afraid I am. Yes.
They spent a lot of money for that tire shredder, and when you got a tire shredder that only does one tire every 5 minutes or 20 minutes, and you got 10,000 tires piling up behind you, it defeats the purpose. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to make it any different this time?
Conchita, would you like to take that question up before I do?
Absolutely, Jason. Thank you for calling this in, because this was something that we our group was talking about. As the first thing I said was, I do not want to have another glass crusher that is going to rot somewhere, because I'm very familiar with that. The difference between that project, which I'm not sure how they arrived at that project, whereas this one, we are doing demonstration project first, and we are coordinating with organizations like Guam Water Works Authority to get their specifications. We're also coordinating with the Department of Public Works to get their specifications that could be utilized in their project. And then we talk to folks like Dr. Burke Johnson from Trades Academy and see what specifications. So in other words, we've been engaged in a lot of dialogue with potential end users. The second part is that we have a number. We have a number of how much glass is being generated. I'm not sure back in the day. I'm not even sure they did that. So knowing this, knowing the specifications, where we've actually got the product in based on the specifications provided to us, and then we'll run the demonstration project to see if it works. We believe it will, but first things first, we need to show it, and everything that we do has to be based on empirical data. And I'm not sure what they did for that glass pressure back in the day. This one is what we're doing. It's very methodical.
And Jason,
Jason,
you still there with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much for calling, and thank you really for putting forth the hard question here, because this is going to be done very methodically here. And if you listen to the first earlier part of the conversation, part of it, initial step, is not only doing a demonstration product to prove the science of it, but also to prove the market for it. And in which case, we've been very fortunate to have the assistance of Jacobs Engineering, one of the world's leading engineering firms, to guide this through this methodical process to produce a result, well, which is not going to be groundbreaking because it's done elsewhere around the country and around the world.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Well, the thing is, that same logic and justification was used in those days too.
Well,
and I just hope this time around that they actually make use of it, not just dream it up. Bring in everything, bring all the equipment, spend the money, and then don't do nothing with it.
And we're on the same page here.
Either they don't have the expertise, or somewhere along the line, somebody just decided we don't need it, or it was too costly in reference to the current materials being used.
Well, and I agree. We're all on the same page with that one there. The only thing I can say here is that in order not to go into that outcome here, this is why the Jacobs Engineering has been tapped. To not only prove the science, but every step of the way. And the outcome here is not to so that it can be used as a recycled product, but to actually create a green industry so it's on a sustainable basis. This is not just a matter of, oh, glass in and it gets diverted, et cetera, here. We wanted a sustainable, privatized operation. So it will continue.
Yeah, that would be perfect. You just got to remember that they've got to anticipate volume, how much material is coming in, and what they purchase, can that handle that volume?
Yes.
If it can't, it's just going to fall apart, break down faster, or they'll just give up on it.
Right, which is why we're working with agencies such as the Department of Public Works and incorporate into their roadways, working with groups like the Guam Trades Academy, that when they have a project like building a building, they can use it as a foundation for their parking lot, working with other agencies like the Guam Waterworks Authority, use it as bedding for lines. I heard one quotation in some of the early conversations, and that one still has much ways to go before we get to that. But potentially,
yeah,
like
that I love the idea, but I'd like to see them actually fulfill it this time.
Absolutely, and trust me, we're all very much aware of this history. Conchita and I are—I won't talk to Conchita's age, but we're both old enough to remember exactly what you're talking about. And when we got involved in this one, our first challenges is we said to each other, we're not going to do that one again. So we're very committed to doing the hard work of the step-by-step methodical basis. So when this is launched, it will be on a sustainable basis and not just a one-shot deal.
Okay,
Jason,
thank you. Sounds like a good idea.
But you're right. Execution is key. And in that regard, we have the help of Jake's
engineer. Let me jump in here.
Yes, Corey.
For Jason, too. I appreciate the question. And in this case, we have looked very closely at the amount of glass that is produced annually on Guam through that waste composition study that I was talking about earlier. So we know the volume this time, and we can. And knowing the volume means that we can size the equipment properly for the right throughput. So I don't know about the size of that previous equipment, and I don't know what it was made out of, but the one that we are, the one that we are recommending this time around is sized so it can handle the throughput needed to process all of Guam's recycled glass into usable construction materials or bedding utility material, and the material and the machinery is going to be coated properly so it doesn't rust away. You know, it's going to have a corrosion package, you know, zinc primer, epoxy coating finish, so it'll last. And furthermore, as Ty mentioned, you know, it's going to be a privatized operation, and the vision here is that there's a private company running this thing for profit. Okay, they're taking the recycled materials, they're collecting it, they are processing it, and they're selling it. So it's in their best interest to keep this equipment running at the top shape and not let it fall into disrepair. So I think we've got some things figured out, hopefully a little bit more thoroughly this time, and we're optimistic that it'll happen and happen well.
It's a new generation. Hopefully they'll do better this time.
Yeah. Yes, and I won't give Agreed. Conchita my age, but my, on our age, but yes, that's our hope for the new generation as well.
Tyrone's older.
Oh, say so. Jason, thank you so much for caring enough about this issue to call in and share your perspective and ask us the hard questions. That's what this program is for. Thank you very much. Mayor Savarez.
Hey, Ty, I got one more question, one more thought here on Jason's comment. He also mentioned the tire shredder that would be slow. You know, I'm aware, and you might be aware also that Guahan Waste has a tire shredder, and they're using it now to shred tires that are sent off island, and their unit right now shreds a lot more tires than the rate that Jason mentioned. So so there is equipment right now operating on island that is shredding the tires, at least into pieces that I believe that the end use right now is a waste energy plant off island, and so the equipment right now on Guam is sized more appropriately than it was back in the day that he was mentioning, so that at least that's a positive step also.
Yes.
You know, Mayor Savarez, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm very encouraged to have phone calls like from Jason that are thoughtful enough and shows that public interest that it will be necessary to help build this these demonstration projects in the green economy, which is our ultimate goal.
Yes, I'm excited, and you know, with Jason being interested, that if you get more, I know if more people hear about this by Conchita, they're going to want to do it in their neighborhood. You know. And in the surrounding areas. And, of course, this is just a test project to make sure it's going to, so that we know it's going to work. And then we'll move on to other areas.
Exactly here. I'm thinking, though, also, and Corey helped me here with this here. As part of the discussion we had in a previous show, you weren't part of it, was the idea of using other recycled materials. I understand the demonstration projects we're doing in Dedo are going to be with pulverized glass, but there, you sort of touched on some of the other items here. One of them, I believe, is also, as for foundational thing, is also plastic could be used for this, or am I correct in that? And it's,
well,
it's a possibility.
The idea with the plastic tie is to use that as part of the surface course, the asphalt.
Oh, okay.
What the process is it takes sort of the softer plastics, the packaging, the wraps, the bags, they process that into pellets that are then fed into the hot asphalt mix. The one company we've been talking to, they do it at about a 1%, so 1% of plastics to about, you know, to 99% parts of regular asphalt, and it actually improves the performance of your asphalt. The plastic works fine with the binder in the asphalt, and the nice thing is that we've been talking with a company that does this in Australia, and they've been working with the New South Wales EPA, and they've done tests that have shown that there is no increase in the production of microplastics, and no issues with the air pollution when you do this. So
when we discussed this in a previous...
This is a really interesting new development that we're looking at for Guam also.
When we discussed this in a previous program, which you weren't a part of here, one caller questioned that this might make the roadway more flammable to mixing in plastics. Is that the case, or is that overstated?
No. I don't believe that's the case at all. I don't think there's any change in the flammability of the roadway once it's laid down.
Of course, that's further down the path. What we're concentrating now is using crushed glass as a foundation or the mid-level of the layer cake for building a road. That's what we're focusing on. But I just brought that up because it comes in other parts of the conversation. Conchita, from your perspective, where do you think we go? I understand we have a lot of hard work ahead of us in green roadways, but what do you think is the outgrowth from green roadways? Where do you see this leading to besides developing a glass pulverizing industry?
Well, I think when Julie mentioned there are other waste streams or resources that we could look at, and one is the recycled concrete, recycled asphalt, the glass, and then there's one more. Corey, refresh my memory on the fourth item we were looking at. I know tires because of the economic
shredded
it's not economically
tires
feasible,
and compost.
But there was another one. Compost.
The,
I believe compost was another.
Well,
so we're
was,
looking at
glass,
developing, looking
concrete.
At these other areas.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of unfair of us, Corey, because we're like testing you at like 1:30 in the morning, your time. But before I go back to Mayor Savarez, is there any other perspectives you want to probably share with the listenership as to on green roadways and the zero waste program as it's broadly speaking?
You know, this is something that we should, you know, we're excited about. It'll bring things, all of our, you know, waste back into our communities, help with replenishing it. Things will filter in back in, the water will filter into the ground. So we're not using just asphalt, you know, and so the runoffs will be cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of works as a percolation also. Mm-hmm. A filter, it filters every the water going into our groundwater.
But a particular importance in Dedado, since you're on top of the aquifer.
Aquifer, right. So that's always a plus, that when we filter everything, the cleaner water back into our groundwater, it makes our drinking water much better. So,
you're right. You know. Anyone wishing to join the conversation, the phone lines are open at 477-5757. We're here with Mayor Melissa Savarez of Dedado, Conchita Titano, the administrator of the Zero Waste Working Group, chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook, and Corey Hines from Jacobs Engineering, one of the world's leading engineering firms here. And we're talking about zero waste and green roadways. The phone lines are open at 477-5757. Also, this program is, if you're listening to it now, it's being broadcast on News Talk K57, a simulcast on GTA Channel 3 and Docomo Channel 2. So, Corey, since you're the engineer in this group here, from that perspective, what do you think are the potentialities going from green roadways and elsewhere in zero waste, broadly speaking?
I think it looks positive, Ty. We've identified that there are markets on Guam for these materials. We can improve them, and I feel very confident that, you know, in a very short period of time, there's going to be facilities that are up and running and producing these materials that are going to be successfully used in construction. And after that's set up and running for a while, it's going to just seem like, it's just the way to do business. It just makes sense, you know. We take these materials, we process them to spec, we use them, they'll become, it'll become second nature. There needs to be some education with our contractors so that they understand how these materials should be used. And I think that it's going to work out really excellent. Looking forward to that day.
And I might add, in terms of education, Carol, we're looking at developing a training program based on the guidance document that we generated earlier this year.
What kind of program? Conchita, what kind of program are you looking at developing?
a training program,
okay.
A greening roadway infrastructure training program utilizing the guidance document and creating a manual in conjunction with Dr. Bert Johnson. So that
the Guam Trades Academy. Yes, Bert is doing a number of things in that field, including he's also submitted his own grant application to the federal government for a solar energy facility, which would not only serve the needs of the new Guam Trades Academy, but help train Academy participants in how to maintain and deal with that repair and maintain such a facility. You know, part of it, broadly speaking, that, you know, that has sort of come up, particularly in the COVID-19 sort of dislocations here, was some of the issues that this thing is intended to address. I mean, we've all experienced some, Corey, out here, we experienced some major dislocations in the supply chain. It's not that we run out of everything, out of stuff, but when we go to the stores, we see these sort of dislocations. And part of the effort is by, for a community that imports so much, by shifting to having the capacity to produce some of these goods on island is also to help improve the supply chain, particularly in fields dealing with organics and food and efforts to enhance not only sustainability but food security, which as you know is an increasing topic as it comes along. Conchita, perhaps in the remaining like 15 minutes, you could talk about some of the other demonstrations, probably other things that are being explored.
Yes,
well, don't take the whole 15 minutes, but just, you know.
No worries. So there's a couple of, there's a few more on the list. And one is with food waste,
mm-hmm.
and composting with composting food waste. But the other part that we really would like to pursue even further is food recovery. Because we understand there's a lot of good food out there. And Corey, the amount, if we were to look at the organics from the waste composition study, and that came out to be about 26-25%. But of that percentage going into that landfill, about 99% of that is food waste. And so the amount of food that is being wasted, good food that is being wasted, could be made available to those who could, you know, who need it. And so we're looking at pursuing a food bank. And I know that what we had at the ready was a demonstration project with the Hyatt Hotel, and that still will move forward, I believe. Now, Corey, could you just? I know you were the focal point. You're working with the chef at the Hyatt. And I know we're working also with Department of Public Health, and I think that is still going to move forward. It's just been pushed back because of COVID-19.
Yeah. Sorry, Corey, you're saying
that's right. That's right, Conchita. It's you know, that one sort of had to be put on hold because everything ground to a halt with the hotels, and there's nothing moving right now. But that one's still very much in play, and that was the collaboration between the Hyatt and the Salvation Army Lighthouse Program being facilitated by the Department of Health and Social Services.
Yes, and lastly, for listenership, the Bureau of Statistics and Plans has, you know, one of those many grant applications is also an application to for a food resource recovery program here that would include development of a food bank. Which Mayor Savar, as you well know more than anybody else here, despite the dislocations of COVID-19, even in the best of times, there's an actual need in this community for a food bank for the neediest in our society, is there not?
Yes, there is. Especially, you know, we see it in these harder times when people have lost their jobs. And so we participate in assisting with food distribution. And we see more and more families who have, you know, who are really struggling, lost their lost income in the household, and are waiting for, you know, the process of applications to be approved. And they're really, you know, we see more families helping each other, helping their neighbors out, helping, you know, each other out in the community. But when we have these food banks, the lines for the food distribution are really, really long, and I feel terrible when we run out and there's still a line. But, you know, we see people that just say, hey, you know, come on, I will help you. So we know there's a need for the food banks, and we're excited to see something happen.
And Conchita and Corey, perhaps you could, for listenerships, kind of sketch out as to what the vision is of a food bank. Because aside from what's been set up so far, the idea is to do something sustainable. So perhaps describe to listenership how a food bank would work. Conchita? Conchita? Ah, I'm not sure if I still have Conchita on the line.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
You know what I do is I politely mute myself while everybody else is speaking, so to cut down on the back noise.
Oh, but I thought you only did that muting to me. So okay, go ahead.
No.
So maybe for the listenership, perhaps just sketch out what a food bank has envisioned on the food resource recovery program. What would that look like? How would that operate?
It would operate like a store, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That would have rows of food that would be donated from various wholesalers, and that individuals coming in would have their vouchers, and they would be given, you know, their shopping cart, and will shop just like anybody else,
mm-hmm.
and walk away with good food. And that's the basic sketch.
What's the possibility of including
it's
fresh
food?
It's
not only just making the food available, but also giving respect to that individual. Because I think often when people receive the assistance, you know, there may be some embarrassment, if you will, and that's not the intent. The intent is, look, come in and go shopping. You have your voucher, and you just go in and you shop, and you walk out with the goods that are put in that voucher, and that's the basic sketch. Now, Corey, I mean, you can add in further, but that was my understanding.
Okay, and would it include possibly fresh produce in this sort of store you envision?
I've not seen how they work that in the U.S. I've seen that in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when we were helping distribute food, it was part of my work with the United Nations University, and so we were helping out. And yes, absolutely, they actually had fresh produce distributed. And keep in mind, you know, I said, look, aside from the dry goods, mm-hmm. There are, you know, you think about the farmers and Saturday, Sunday morning, right, Mayor?
Yes.
The farmers don't always sell everything. So what do they do with that? You know, that would be an opportune time, instead of having these farmers drag their produce back, but perhaps, you know, working out a stipend with them to hold on to those fruits and vegetables, their produce, and make those available to the needy in the food bank. So that is not a, you know, that is something that should be woven in.
Mm-hmm. And I know one of the, this is early days, we just sort of sketched out the scope here, but I know one of the possible sites of the food bank that has been identified is the Dedado Farmers Market in your village, Mayor Savarez.
Yes.
Is this, in that respect, though, that would require some sort of restructuring of the on-site here. But those are the sort of things that will be worked out in developing this proposal with Jacobs Engineering, certainly, once we identify the funding for this. But there are a number of sources out there to support environmental projects like this. And also, I have to say, there are new federal grant opportunities for this, particularly if it's put in the light of the economic recovery from COVID-19 dislocations, and we're pursuing a number of options in those avenues as well. So we're very hopeful that we'll get the resources needed to move this stuff forward here. Mayor Savarez, in terms of the need for a food bank here, I know you see this on a personal level on an ongoing basis here. Is your sense here that they're still, even as stepped up as the food bank operations are now, is your sense that there's still a much larger need out there?
Yes, there is. You know, people are still, we're trying to get some job placements. Some have reported back to work, but still with reduced hours. And so they're really still pinching their pennies, as they say. And what they do is whatever they're earning is just taking care of their financial obligations, paying their utilities, their mortgages or rents. And so the need for food is still there, despite even people returning back to work. So, I was sharing with someone the other day. I said, maybe we should also be passing out seeds and little plants so that they can start growing. And this is where, the food banks, if they can teach them how to grow what they like to eat and then use the food banks to provide other things, maybe their meats, but basic stuff.
Yeah, I know the director of agriculture, Chelsea Brecht, along with Milman Ilagita, are developing programs here to promote not only for reasons of food security, not only home gardening here for raising vegetables, but community gardens as well. But in your description, I'm glad you touched on the issue about some of the need being driven by the joblessness or the reduced hours as a consequence of the COVID-19 and dislocations here. And it returns to a point I made earlier. Part of this process here is not only just to provide usable products and not only do something that's sensible for the environment, but also to create more jobs, more private sector jobs. Because as truth be told, a lot of the jobs that have been lost over the last couple months may be slow in coming back or may not come back at all, particularly in some areas of the retail sector. In which case here, a diversified approach into the economy to bring new jobs, whether it's in agriculture or in IT or in the coming green economy, that's kind of very key to the governor and lieutenant governor's approach for the economic recovery for Guam. Well, we're heading towards the top of the hour, the point at which we'll get the radio news, but also we'll give Corey a chance to get back to sleep by us having interrupted his restful night by imposing on his generosity to call in at now close to 2 a.m. in the morning Anchorage time. Is it not, Corey?
That's right, Ty, but I'm happy to be here.
Okay, well, we're happy you're with us here. So I'm going to go around the panel and just for any closing comments, starting with you, Corey, any last words or stuff that we have not touched on? We have about 3.5 minutes between the four of us to get through the balance of the hour before we have to break for the news. So any broad general comments you'd like to close out on the discussion?
Yeah, well, just a couple on the food recovery program. From our waste composition study, we found that there was, approximately 20,000 tons of food waste per year being sent to the landfill. That's a lot of food waste. And we had sort of a threefold approach for this grant that we're applying for, which was first develop a targeted outreach and education program for governments, residents, and commercial entities to reduce the food waste. And then develop, we had this food bank concept where we have to do an assessment to see what's out there and what can we do to recover edible food before it's spoiled and disposed. And then the third part was demonstrating and evaluating a food composting program on the residential scale. And I also want to mention a grant that we're working on right now, which is a grant for an anaerobic digester, which is a unit that would take, the concept here, Ty, is that you would take food waste from one of our big hotels or a consortium of the hotels, bring it to this area with this digester, generate biogas, use through the decomposition of the food, use that biogas in a small-scale microturbine to generate electricity on-site at that area.
Mm-hmm.
Could be this recycling enterprise zone that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. Which is established by statute at the commercial part, yes.
To run some of this equipment. So that's an exciting program that we think has got some potential.
Basically to create biofuels to help meet the energy needs of the community?
Well, it's to provide generate on-site electricity to run other equipment at this recycling enterprise zone, for example, the glass crusher.
Ah, and that, therefore I cut down on operating costs and actually help the...
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. So, but is it beyond on-site the recycling enterprise zone, which is a point I was created about more than a decade ago by then Senator Roy Respicio, to set aside 10 acres for use of basically an industrial park for recycling industries and recycling enterprises. And, you know, because of the first thing that when starting a new business is where you're going to put it, and this is meant to be to nurture those. But would it be the expanded use for this elsewhere?
Okay. Oh, yeah. This is nothing new. These systems are being used all over the world now. You know, the United States is a little bit behind on them.
We just have to explore it. Okay. And
yeah, working to catch up.
Okay, we're like 25 seconds to the end. Mayor Savarez, any parting words you'd like to share with us before we hit the news?
Well, I'd like to thank, you know, everyone, all our partners, for giving us the opportunity to do this. I always say we can't do things alone, you know, because of the limited resources. But I'd like to thank, again, everyone for giving us the opportunity.
And thank you, Mayor Savarez, Conchita Tidno, and Corey, get some sleep. That's it for us tonight, folks. Thank you. Great.